conservative.edu. Scroll down to Bookstore, browse, and place your order today. That's conservative.edu and scroll to Bookstore. Thanks for tuning in to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Since 2015, Dr. Youngblood has taken scores of questions and comments on the challenging issues of the day, with the goal of motivating and informing listeners to examine the issues from a central biblicist worldview. Currently, this broadcast is heard on 3 regional stations in Florida and Georgia. Dr. Youngblood's expository preaching is also heard on these 3 stations in Jacksonville, Florida, St. Augustine, Florida, and Brunswick, Georgia. Now there's a great opportunity to expand this vital ministry to other cities. Your help is needed to accomplish this mission. Your support in any amount is crucial to take the next step in sharing God's truth in a relevant, lively, and timely way. Thanks for your willingness to support this broadcast as we prepare to face the issues on a broader scale. Please go to fcbcatjax.com or to send your best gift to First Conservative Baptist Church, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, 32258, Attention Radio. Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood is brought to you by First Conservative Baptist Church. Now let's get back to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood.
Ladies and gentlemen, what we're witnessing in America and around the globe may seem chaotic, confusing, dark, dangerous, devastating, all of that, and it is. But what we're really witnessing is the fulfillment of the prophetic hand of God as the Scripture outlines for us in the last days. The Scripture talks about all of these nations, ladies and gentlemen, that's coming about today. Those that are standing up, speaking up, that we're seeing now and hearing from. For example, ladies and gentlemen, the central nation in prophecy is Israel. And all of our eyes are on Israel. Israel, ladies and gentlemen, has been under attack since May 14, 1948, when it became a nation. It's had war after war after war trying to destroy it, because according to Revelation, the 12th chapter, Israel is hated of all nations simply because of giving birth to the Lord Jesus Christ. It's out of Israel that we have the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. But you find Israel talked about as that central nation. Zechariah, the 12th chapter, Jerusalem becomes a cup of trembling, the Bible says, for all nations. Zechariah chapter 14, the Bible says that all nations are going to gather together against Jerusalem. Ezekiel 38:39, Israel is invaded in the last days, and God wins the battle, by the way, ladies and gentlemen. Matthew 24 speaks of an event centered in Judah and in Jerusalem, and it's speaking of the prophetic word of God, of what God's word says will happen in the last days. So we're seeing God's hand at work. I believe God divinely intervened, put President Trump in office. I believe he's the only man in modern history that has the tenacity, the spine, and the volitional will to stand up and protect America. That's his goal. But in doing so, he's fulfilling prophetic scripture as we understand it. Ladies and gentlemen, Russia, China, Iran, all of these nations are in the last days in the prophetic text of the Word of God. I believe James is on the line. James, go over the question or comment, please.
Yes, Dr. Youngblood. Yeah, this is James. And I wanted to just tell your listening audience, I've gotten a book from you several years ago, and it was The Coming Islamic Invasion. And I believe you wrote that book in 2013. And it's a short read, but it's power-packed with facts and figures and names and addresses. You, yeah. I had forgotten how in the beginning we talked about 3 ladies that got Barack Hussein Obama to do something that he may not have done on his own, and kind of got the ball moving in the wrong direction, and how it all unwinds, or it all plays out per God's plan in Ezekiel. And you had reminded me of that recently, and so I ripped that book out and I started reading it again last night, and I kept stopping and telling my wife, now listen to this. Oh, wait a minute, you're not going to believe this. And it had the guy that used to be on the radio, Michael Savage, I think it was, but and how he had predicted and called out a lot of different things. But the lead up to it and the players was really, really interesting. And then Gog and Magog and how it all kind of fit together and in God's perfection. But it's a great story, and it's only 60-some pages, I think, which I love audiobooks, and I love your books are wonderful. But just the listening audience, that your library and your accomplishments are not you never brag about it. But I think as the readers of and the listeners to you teaching us God's Word in the perfect way that it's meant to be, you don't add anything to it. You don't take anything away from it. You know, there are things that people can debate about and so forth. But for the majority of it, it's black and white. It's truth versus lies. And we know who the father of lies is and where those things come from.
Amen. Well, James, listen, I am so thankful that you have been blessed by the book. And may I just take a moment to share with our listeners, The Coming Global Islamic Invasion is a verse-by-verse overview of Ezekiel chapter 38 and 39. It sets the stage, and it's very much of what I'm saying today. We're witnessing the prophetic hand of God as we see these nations that are all mentioned in the Word of God. In the last days, they will stand up, be heard, be seen. And God is still in control, and it's one day these nations will come against the nation of Israel. Go ahead with your question.
And you backed it up with George Soros, and which I didn't realize George Soros' real name was Gorky Schwartz or something, but how much his hatred for Christianity and the Constitution. I mean, he was an avowed atheist and just a horrible man, as we can see, and his reach is still there. He's still getting us, little by little.
Absolutely. And, James, one of the things that listeners may not understand, Soros owns and controls, and now with his son at the helm also, 209 different corporate entities in America or in the world, and he's using the funds. Listen, he spent $50, $60, $70, $80, $90, $100 million on some of these things that we're seeing now with the crowds and supposed to be spontaneous crowds coming up. No, they're bought and paid. One of the ones recently interviewed on the street says, "Why aren't you working?" And the woman with a large mask on said, "I am working. I'm getting paid right now." And listen, if Soros would spend $50 to $100 million with his money, that's equivalent to maybe one day's interest on his money. And yet he's doing that, undermining to tear down and destroy our nation. It is the work of Satan and all of his demons. And the average person, just as I spoke of at the beginning of the broadcast, that the lady, 82 years old, that called in to C-SPAN on television this morning, blaming Trump, blaming the ICE agents, that America ought not to have thugs in the streets putting guns to people's head. We ought not to have people being made to disappear by them picking them up, going into stores and arresting people, et cetera, et cetera. And Trump, she said, is bringing a dark shadow over America and around the world because of what Trump is doing, not realizing, not understanding, not recognizing a little speck of what's really happening on the globe. This is the reason, James, I'll take this moment to say, we need to study the Word, know the Word, recognize the Word of God, that God's Word has pre-told us what will take place. It's history pre-written as to what's going to happen in the last days. And according to my Bible, we're in the last of the last days, where perilous times shall come. And by the way, that book you're speaking of can be found. Go to FCBCATJax.com, scroll down to the bookstore, and find it on the bookstore. And I would invite every listener to buy the book. It's inexpensive. I don't recall the cost of it, but it's I published that back in 2013, if I'm not mistaken. But it's a book that needs to be in every person's hand to understand prophetically, biblically, what's happening right now in the world in which we're living in. But James, brother,
you warned of what we see. You warned of what we're now seeing in Minneapolis and in Detroit and in New York City. I mean, you warned of what was going to happen.
And it's coming directly from the Scripture, and it's a warning that I believe everyone under the sound of my voice needs to heed and understand where we are and what's happening. And going back to that, we need to understand there's a need to pray. There's a need to go before the Lord and take a stand and praying and asking God to heal our land, asking God to give us wisdom and strength even in these last days. In fact, Franklin Graham just published an article that was very, very needful. Let me read a portion of this and get your take on it. Frank Grimm says, as the streets of America boil over with hate, anger, crime, drugs, and just sheer hopelessness, is there anything God's people can do? You bet there is, he said. As a nation, our sins are so great. We have increasingly turned our backs on God and his commands, embracing godless secularism. We need to ask for his forgiveness and seek his face. Pray for our leaders. Pray for that God will bring calm to our streets. There are many who would like to string things up. There are even those who would like to destroy this great country. Pray that these efforts will be thwarted and that God's plans would be brought in out of confusion. As God uses his church to be his instruments of peace in this time of great uncertainty. With humility, let's give God the glory for the great nation and thank him for his hand of blessing. And then he quotes in the text, Second Chronicles 7:14, if my people which call by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and then will forgive their sins and heal their land. So, James, I believe that that's really the answer to what we're talking about.
I literally was just thinking about that verse, and then one of them that dovetails perfectly. Everybody knows Jeremiah 29:11, but if you take a second and you read 12 and 13, it's similar to 2 Chronicles 7:14. And in Jeremiah 29, if my people will call upon me, I will give them ear, I will listen to them. And forgive them and heal them, in their land. So,
it goes back to the need for the church. It goes back to the need for the church to stand up, speak up, be heard, and be seen while we yet have privilege and opportunity and freedom of religion to do so. James, brother, thank you so much for your call, and God bless you as we keep looking up. I believe Jim is on the line. Jim, go over the question or comment, please.
Good afternoon, Dr. Youngblood. How are you?
All right.
Hello?
I'm here. Go ahead.
Okay.
I'm sorry.
I have watched that video, both. I've watched the ICE officer's video, and I've watched the video from the vehicle and behind there. And they both correlate perfectly with each other. The one thing that I watched, I slowed it down. If you look at the officer's feet, you can see that his left hand is holding the cell phone up, but as she's pulling forward and you watch his feet actually slide to the left. Now, he's not out there doing the electric boogaloo. He was actually struck by that vehicle. If you watch his video, you can hear the other ICE officer clearly ordering this woman to shut the vehicle down and get out of the vehicle. I have some things, and I know a lot of people don't want to hear this, about her Christianity. One of them goes along the lines of, and likewise, the women will leave off the natural use. That's in Romans there.
Romans chapter 1, verse 24 and following, yes.
Yes, sir. Two, she had lost her child's father. As a Christian mother, she should know that our time here on earth is the will of God. When he calls, you're going. She should have made every effort after having lost her son's father to be a good Christian mother to her son. She put herself into a situation that was unnecessary in a confrontation that she could have easily just not participated in. The second part is these individuals here that are claiming these right to protests and other things there, they're walking a very, very fine line. If they know anything about history, and I'm going to bring up, I brought this up to you before there, a French gentleman named Edmond Genet, Citizen Genet, in 1807, his actions directly brought about the Insurrection Act of 1807. And the Insurrection Act states that any persons that are in the United States, whether they're citizens of the United States or foreigners of the United States, that are advocating for riots and uprisings against the federal supremacy law, which supersedes state law, that they are in violation of sedition, and very close to insurrection. And this lack of knowledge, this I claim ignorance of the law is, and I'm going to follow these radical agendas, doesn't do anything. You're putting everybody in danger, yourself, the officers that are trying to do their job, the state and the federal government. You're causing chaos. You're a sower of dissent. You're doing everything unbiblical. You're violating Romans 13.
Jim, if I could jump in for a moment. You remember Ashley Babbitt the January 6th fiasco in the Capitol, and how a law enforcement officer, police officer that's never been prosecuted for the crime of murder, shot Ashley Babbitt without cause, murdered her, and you didn't hear one squeak from the left. The loose lax lost left, socialist, Marxist, communist, Democrats said nothing. They blamed Ashley Babbitt for the crime of being murdered by a police officer as she walked into the hallways of the Capitol building. Now, here we go today with the woman that committed the crime of trying to kill a police officer, a law enforcement officer. She was shot by the police officer trying to protect his life, and now they're blaming the police officer for murdering her when it was not murder. It was self-defense based on the authority of the scripture. And Jim, one of the things that I find taking place that is going to bubble to the horizon pretty soon, look at the headline, says, flooding the web, calling for Trump to invoke the Insurrection Act. It goes on to say, Nancy Mace, Republican, South Carolina, has called on President Trump to arrest Minnesota Governor Tim Walz for his implied threat to send state National Guard troops against federal immigration agents who are in Minnesota to enforce the nation's borders. And then she goes on to quote 18 U.S.C. 2383, dealing with the president having the authority to declare the Insurrection Act in order to carry out the task. I believe Tim Walz needs to be arrested. I believe the Attorney General of the state of Minnesota needs to be summarily arrested. They're challenging the supremacy law. They're challenging the federal government, the United States of America, through President President Trump, to carry out the act of protecting our nation. What say you?
Oh, it's a definite violation of the supremacy law. You have to remember, Walz is also responsible for the Minnesota law of stand your ground versus vehicles there. That is actually a law on their books, just like here in Florida. You have the right to defend yourself, particularly from a vehicle that's being weaponized. When he's talking about sending out the National Guards, prior to 1807, Citizen Genet, our government was in Philadelphia. He instigated riots within the city to attempt to overthrow the federal government in support of the revolution that was occurring in France, the Age of Reason. And these individuals are doing nothing no different than Citizen Genet did back in the early 1800s.
Exactly, so, right. By the way, I don't know if you heard the earlier portion of the broadcast. There's a new word that I just discovered. It's a Oxford dictionary word, ultra-crapidarian, a person who expresses opinions on matters outside the scope of their knowledge or expertise. And we find folks doing that. By the way, you talked about the self-defense law that is in Minnesota that the governor had signed. By the way, it's just being brought up as though that's brand new, that he's just now signing that law into effect, where a person has the right to defend himself if there's an attempt to take his life or to endanger him with a vehicle. It is a self-defense law against someone trying to kill by a weapon called a car or truck, et cetera, vehicle. And I find it fascinating that I think he's trying to do things now to try to defend himself because he sees the handwriting on the wall. He's already said, I'm not running for re-election. I believe there's coming a day at the very near future where he will be forced to step down as governor. I believe there'll be a day in the near future where he will literally be charged with a crime for what he's done to humanity and for his state. I believe, my personal opinion, I believe he not only knew but helped to carry out the fraud in the state of Minnesota. I believe he was on the take in some fashion with part of that, and it's apparent that his lieutenant governor was also somehow entangled in that when she takes a public stand with the Islamic jihadists called the Somalians in the state, saying that we stand with you, we'll protect you, we'll defend you, whatever happens. I think there's a reason behind that, and I think many of the, the politicians today that are unwilling to take a stand for our Constitution, allowing that to take place, because they have been getting mega dollars in their coffers for running for office and re-election, etc., including Ilhan Omar. I believe she needs to be deported. I believe she's an anti-American. I believe that everything that she says and does is to undermine America and American jurisprudence and our Constitution in the United States of America. That's just my thoughts. So, Jim, what's the answer?
Prayer. Lots of prayer.
Absolutely.
I would like to bring up one point. Waltz was also the running mate of Kamala Harris, and if you recall, their campaign burned through $1 billion in 6 months. Now, right. Where in the world? I would love to see the tally sheet for all that money that went into that Democratic campaign.
Absolutely, and he admitted that he was a fruitcake knucklehead, as he called himself, even when he was running for the vice presidency. Jim, here's the bottom line as I see it. I'm looking at an article. A Democrat candidate's wife called the Bible bleeping stupid, loved to joke about Trump's demise. This is what she said on her Facebook or one of the public platforms. I hate to say this, but I think we need to deport white men in their 20s or put them in internment camps. Susan, the wife of a U.S. Democrat House candidate, made a series of inflammatory Facebook posts over the course of decades in which she deemed the Bible a blankety-blank stupid book, appears to joke about President Donald Trump's death, and suggested that all young white men need to be deported or imprisoned. Susan's husband, a wealthy tech executive and deputy mayor of the affluent Westchester County village, is vying to unseat Republican New York Representative Mike Lawler in a contest that would be among the most competitive races in the midterms. His wife's comments appear to be at odds with his statement about having compassion and empathy. His wife said, which is a former board member of the local Planned Parenthood Center, mocked the Bible, appeared to compare it to the popular children's book in December Post. I really, 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 really don't care about your blankety-blank stupid Bible, she wrote in Facebook. It's a book. Should we live? We should live our lives according to Nancy Drew and not the Bible. I believe that's the centrality of what we're talking about. I believe it's an ignorance of the Word of God, a rejection of the Word of God, a refusal to hear what God's Word says, and our governmental officials not recognizing, realizing, and submitting to the fact that God created civil government as a servant, a slave to God, to carry out the practice of prosecuting evil and protecting good. And we have far, far, far left that centrality that the Bible says ought to be the mindset, the move, and the protocol for all civil government. So I believe we need to, as I said, and as you've said, and as Franklin Graham has said in an article just yesterday, we need to pray, ask God to heal our land. Jim, I think that's the only answer. And at the same time, realizing that what we see fomenting, what we see happening in Iran, what we see happening in Venezuela, what we see taking place in Russia and in Ukraine, what we see happening with China and with the nations that's coming together, we're witnessing the formation of the those that will be in the last of the last days, the key players, the key nations. So it causes me to be excited when we see that. I recognize it and see it, and I'm excited to see God's hand at work, even in what looks to be dark, dangerous, devastating, and difficult, as the Bible says it will be. Jim, brother, thank you so much for your call.
Thank you, sir.
And God bless you as we keep looking up.
God bless you.
I believe Harper is on the line. Go ahead with your question or comment, please.
Yeah, thank you, Dr. Youngblood. I tell you, this is exactly what we've been looking at and listening to. Two things that the Bible tells us, I believe, if I'm not too far off on this, that in the last days we would call good bad and bad evil, or good, whichever way it goes, good bad and bad is good. And also that at the end, all nations would be against Israel. We've got an election that's coming up this year, and if the Republicans lose the election and the Democrats takes over, there is fertile ground right now for the United States to join these other nations that hates Israel and will come against Israel. So I believe we are in the last days, and the rapture is nigh on hand.
Absolutely. It could be any moment. I was telling somebody recently, when we talked about the rapture, I said, I've got my bags packed, my ticket's already punched, I'm ready. And he paused for a moment. He said, Doc, you don't need to pack your bags. You don't need a ticket. It's already, you're already on the way.
We didn't bring anything in. We won't take anything out. We're going naked.
Absolutely, brother. And when you touched on that, all nations, it's in the Zechariah text. Zechariah, the 14th chapter, verse 1, 2, and 3, says that the Jewish nation, Israel, will be a cup of trembling, and that every nation will gather together against Jerusalem. And what I see, if I can touch on this and elongate it for just one moment, I see Russia leading the pack. You realize with the embargo of the oil out of Venezuela is going to heavily affect Russia. You realize the embargo of oil out of Venezuela will almost destroy Cuba and the financial underpinning in Iran. And when we see this taking place, we're going to witness and watch Russia standing up leading those nations. Most do not realize that in Syria alone, Russia has warships in ports in Syria. And now we have Trump that hit, I believe it was one day last week, it hit some 60 or 70 spots in Syria, wiping out the Islamic jihadists that were responsible for three of our military people being killed recently. I believe we're witnessing Russia behind the scenes, whipping it up, churning it up, that eventually we will see the nations crossing the Euphrates River, thinking that they're on some conference mission, but coming against the nation of Israel to try to destroy the apple of God's eye. And God says that he wins in the end. And so I'm thankful for that, brother. God bless you, and thank you for your call. Ladies and gentlemen, as we continue the discussion in relationship to witnessing the prophetic text being fulfilled in the scripture, I don't know about you, but I get excited about it when I see these nations coming together. Russia, that's called Gog and Magog in Ezekiel 38 and 39. Syria, by the way, Syrian Isaiah 17:1 says, the burden of Damascus, behold, Damascus is taken away from being a city and shall be in a ruinous heap. And Damascus is talking about the chief city in Syria. China is coming about, and it talks about the king of the east in Revelation chapter 16, verse 12. And that way the kings of the east might be prepared. Ladies and gentlemen, we're on the move. Armageddon is being set up. And the war with Russia, the World War III that we find stated and talked about in Ezekiel 38-39 sets the stage for that final battle, the Battle of Armageddon. Ladies and gentlemen, we're witnessing the hand of God. We need to pray, seek God's face, ask God to heal our land. Thank you for joining us today. Looking forward to meeting you next time on the air as once again we face the issues.
Been listening to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida. Located 1 mile south of I-295, FCBC invites you to tune in nightly 9 to 10 for expository preaching on 91.3, 91.7, and 91.9 FM. You're invited to worship with First Conservative Baptist Church. A reminder, CTU is now enrolling students for next semester. Ask about first semester scholarships. Call 1-800-GO-BIBLE. Tune in tonight at 11 for a replay of today's Let's Face the Issues broadcast